It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. You know, our co-host today is Wendy Cates Dancer. You know, she always makes the fun show fun, and she, at the very same time, makes it very informative. Wendy's a registered nurse, a nutrition counselor, a great nutrition teacher. In fact, I want you to share some of the people that were in your class yesterday.
Oh, great minds think alike, don't they? I had a fabulous day yesterday. I've been teaching lots of classes, but yesterday, and my dream has always been to get to children before we develop all of these health problems and issues that we see on a daily basis, Star. And so yesterday, I had a 6.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old and a 12-year-old in my weight and wellness series, and they sat there for 2 hours. Now, the little girl did get up and go and get some water and come back in the room, the 3.5-year-old. But it was just absolutely amazing
to watch these
little ones.
You are a great teacher, that's why.
It was great. It was just wonderful. I was in seventh heaven.
So, you know, today I'm really glad you're here because we have a very complicated topic today. And I think it's very complicated because we know women think it's complicated. And
well,
it is.
Women are just complicated.
They are.
We are.
So it's how to avoid weight gain at menopause.
Ooh. We're going to do all that in an hour? Okay, well, we better get started. We have our work cut out for us. We know that 65 to 75% of women involuntarily gain weight at menopause.
Well, we know we don't have very many clients that voluntarily gain weight. You know, I know that most women at menopause believe that if they just look at food, they'll gain weight. And we do know the women that are on HRT, that's hormone replacement therapy, are at a higher risk, I'll get there, for weight gain than those who take no hormones. Which is kind of interesting, isn't it?
That is interesting. Those extra pounds that show up at menopause may be due to a lack of progesterone and an excess of estrogen. And that's called an estrogen dominance. It's actually an imbalance.
So as women, when we stop ovulating, we no longer produce progesterone. So we become kind of hormonally out of balance. Too much estrogen and not enough progesterone often results in weight gain.
Well, and farmers have known this for years. They've known that estrogen fattens animals and often use an artificial estrogen to fatten up their steers and pigs. So when women take extra estrogen, they often gain weight very easily.
So this is kind of interesting, too. Magically, if and when women ovulate, their body uses about 300 calories daily in the process of ovulation. So not so magically, when you stop ovulating, you have an extra 300 calories kind of floating around, ready to turn into body fat.
Okay.
I don't think many women know that one.
No, I don't think they do. I didn't know that before I read Anne Louise's book.
That's right.
That's amazing. So let's just look at that, though. It doesn't sound like a lot, but let me think. 300 calories times 12 equals 3,600 calories, or about 1 pound. So every 12 days, if I don't compensate for those 300 daily burn calories, then I can gain up to 1 pound. Okay, so now let's look at a year.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1 year, I could gain 30 pounds. Even if I didn't eat any additional calories.
And we often have women coming into our office saying exactly that is what happened to them. And they will have said, well, in the last few months I've gained 20 pounds, or, you know, over the last year or two I've gained 30 pounds. So, it does happen. So we think it is so helpful to know some of this basic information because as informed women, we can adjust our eating just slightly to not eat those extra 300 calories. You know, it could be just as simple as not having your cafe mocha in the morning or giving up that bag of M&Ms in the middle of the afternoon or the two glasses of wine at night. Or maybe that Dove bar snack before bed. Or what about the chocolate cake or the apple pie that you have out with friends when you go out? Mm. All of those things would be a possibility.
I find many women at menopause develop what we call a night eating syndrome. Maybe listeners can relate to this. It's 10 p.m. and you're hungry. The conversation in your head begins with, I've been there. I'm trying to lose weight. Just go to bed without eating. But you say to yourself, I followed my diet all day long. I deserve a treat. I can't sleep if I'm hungry. Besides, I only eat fat-free foods. This is fat-free. That can't possibly hurt me.
Well, yes, it can hurt. And it can hurt in many different ways. So let's take a look at a couple of cups of Smart Start cereal. 380 calories. 86 grams of carbohydrates, which turns into 21.5 teaspoons of sugar, eaten before bed will increase your blood sugar, which will make your body kind of out of balance, and so insulin will come in and try to rebalance your blood sugar, and then you're going to have too much insulin, excess insulin all night long. Guess what happens? Excess insulin leads to weight gain all night long. And especially around the middle.
Right, which is the worst place to carry weight. Mm-hmm. We all know that. And it will hurt.
Mm-hmm. It will hurt.
When you step on the scale. But you will also hurt the next morning with stiff, achy joints and muscles. And of course, you won't be hungry for breakfast. So you'll skip breakfast and you'll slow down your metabolism for the whole day. It's a very vicious cycle.
So now, can I don't know, Wendy, can you relate to that kind of scenario, or have you had clients that could kind of relate to that scenario of, you know?
Well, before I came to see you, that's exactly the way I ate, you know, and I've gone through menopause since I've been here, but still, you know, I remember a few months where I really struggled with that too, but kind of just going back to those old patterns, you know, I mean, before I came to see you, I never ate breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I would make up for it. I wouldn't stop eating all evening. And, of course, you know, I was eating low fat, but right. I never felt full. I always felt hungry. My life was run by cravings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then so then you do. You think you're trying to lose weight by not eating breakfast, but it's the absolute worst thing you can do. And then, you know, then you eat at night. Again, you're not hungry when you get up. And then you kind of start that whole process again.
Exactly. You know, so let's take some other snacks that people think are okay. So let's take a Let's look at Cheerios. You know, are they any better than Smart Start? Well, 2 cups of Cheerios. That's 58 grams of carbohydrates, or 14 teaspoons of sugar. Again, you're going to have high blood sugars all night long. You're going to have too much insulin, and all night long, your body's going to gain weight on you, just kind of magically, gain weight from that. 2 cups of Cheerios. And I know that a lot of people use Cheerios as snack foods. They don't even put milk on it. They just kind of sit there and eat Cheerios and 1 cup and then 2 cups and then 3 cups and they just keep eating it. It's kind of like popcorn, don't they?
Well, it is, exactly. And you know, we both know, Dar, from all of the demonstrations that we do in class, that there really isn't any difference in sugar between Frosted Flakes and Cheerios.
No.
Or the Smart Start. I mean, all of these cereals turn to sugar very quickly in our bloodstream, and they're all very high in sugar.
I mean, there may be 1 or 2 teaspoons difference in the amount, but when you're up at 14 or 22
yeah.
teaspoons of sugar in your body, it doesn't really matter.
And then we add
much.
The skim milk, or right. like you said, eat it dry. We add the skim milk, which adds even more sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But most people know that cereal, popcorn, breakfast cereal bars, toast, chips are not good choices before bed because of their high carbohydrate content.
Well, I think we might stop there on that one, and because do most people think that? Or are they still back in the idea? Because, you know, we look at this and you say breakfast cereal, well, that's low fat, right?
Right.
Maybe not chips, but there's even some fat-free chips, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, the fat-free chips, and you eat a ton of them. two packages.
So, you know, it's like we believe as nutrition educators that people understand this, don't we? That these are high-carbohydrate foods.
Right.
And that they will turn to fat in your body at nighttime. But does the general population believe this?
I don't think they do.
Well, that's why we're out there educating.
That's why we're doing class. That's why we do class.
So what kind of snack will actually support your metabolism? Because most people do want to eat some kind of bed nighttime snack. And most people, they actually sleep better when they do. So what would be a good choice? Well, a deviled egg and a half an apple. Or how about this? This is a new idea. Some olives and some shrimp. Or a tablespoon of peanut butter and celery. You know, we know that if people eat the right snack, they're going to sleep better, deeper, and longer.
But the other thing that we get out of eating the right snack is we can increase our metabolism rather than decrease it.
Right.
And we can decrease inflammation rather than increase it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually allowing our body to do what it's supposed to do when
exactly.
we sleep.
So, Wendy, we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. An interesting and not well-known fact is that trans fats have a half-life, and we're going to talk about trans fats more later in the show. Now, which is the reason trans fats have a half-life. That's the reason that convenience foods have a long shelf life. So how long does it take that trans fat in your morning muffin to negatively affect your metabolism? So stay tuned, because right after break, Wendy's going to share that answer. So if you have questions today about menopausal weight gain, call us at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse and nutritional counselor and educator. And I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist. And we are discussing reasons for menopausal weight gain. So if you have any questions about that for us today, please give us a call at 651-641-1071. We'd love you to join in on the conversation. So, Dar, before we went out, we were discussing trans fats and how long does that stay in your body and actually affect your metabolism? I think people are going to be surprised with this answer.
Mm-hmm.
The half-life of the trans fats is 51 days, and that's just a little over 7 weeks. So what that means is the negative effect, up to 25%, will still be lingering in your body for 102 days, or 14 weeks, or 3.5 months.
A long time.
Mm-hmm. What a nasty long-term impact on your health and metabolism to eat these trans fats.
So as listeners, you can kind of see why your metabolism might not kick in for months and why weight loss may be a slow process if you've been a consumer of trans fats. And it's hard in our society today not to have been a consumer of trans fats.
Absolutely. And when I started the program many years ago, I mean, I felt better immediately,
mm-hmm.
but it took me six months to start losing weight.
Well, I know that this week I had a call from a client that she happens to be in San Francisco right now, and warm, it was 75 degrees, and it was 21 below when I was talking to her, but she's been on our program for about 4 weeks, and she had lost 4 pounds, and she was feeling like, well, that's not enough, but I'm feeling better, she kept saying, Dar, I'm feeling a lot better. But it takes that process of getting through through those and getting those trans fats out of your cells before your metabolism will start to kick in. So we have a couple of questions. First of all, before I take a caller, we have a question someone called in and asked, how does oatmeal affect weight gain if eaten before bed? So there's one for you, Wendy. Oatmeal, eaten before bed.
Well, yeah, oatmeal is, it is when we look at oatmeal, because there's all kinds of different oatmeal, we can get some lovely steel-cut oats.
That has a lot of fiber.
That has a lot of fiber. Or we can have instant oatmeal with high fructose corn syrup. And
it's all sugar.
Right, and it goes into our bloodstream very quickly. But with any oatmeal, really, it's quite high in carbohydrates, so you really need to watch the amount you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does affect your blood sugar.
So, and I'm guessing that people that are thinking in terms of eating oatmeal at night, I bet they don't get steel-cut
They're not
oats.
Going and getting the steel-cut oats and cooking it for 30 minutes. No.
They're going to the instant, processed, already eaten kind of oatmeal. So, it's probably very high in sugar, and it probably makes your blood sugar go up, and literally you gain weight again all night long, even
right.
with that kind of oatmeal. So we do have some callers here.
Okay. Let's see what...
Hi, Linda. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
Oh, yes. Thank you for taking my question. After my regular checkup, I believe that I am, I guess, what you call perimenopausal.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. The weight gain, when you said the weight gain, because I have gained like 10 pounds in the last probably month,
mm-hmm.
and my diet hasn't changed.
Right. Oh, that's because, again, it goes back to the fact that you're not ovulating.
Yeah.
And you're not using up those 300 calories.
So how do I do that?
So you have to look at what you can adjust out of your eating on a daily basis that has those extra 300 calories.
And definitely look at the things that have a lot of carbohydrates and sugar in them.
Look at
those things.
Right.
Increasing your activity also is a good idea.
Okay. And I can increase the activity. Carbohydrates, and this sounds like really funny, but I've recently gone on a thing... pistachio nuts. I just crave them.
Yes.
And so
some are okay.
A lot of them.
Yeah, we'll see. Some are okay.
But pistachios are one of the nuts that do have more sugar in them.
Oh, shoot.
They do, because I check that out, because I really, really like them, and they do set off my sugar cravings. So they have actually quite a bit more sugar than an almond or, a pecan or a walnut.
Yeah, I used to eat almonds a lot, just the raw almonds.
They don't have as many carbohydrates, so they don't make you want more, especially the raw almonds. So a quarter of a cup of raw almonds are satisfying, but if you start on pistachio nuts, you can't stop eating them. So that tells does that tell you something?
Mm-hmm. So I should quit.
Probably.
What did you say, Linda?
I should switch.
Yep, that's right.
Go for the almonds.
Not only go for the almonds, but then you want to eat in balance to keep your blood sugar balanced. And so then what you want to add to your almonds, a quarter cup of almonds, is you want to add a couple ounces of protein. And you also want to add, some carbohydrates, like maybe a half an apple.
And then
eating in balance.
Yeah. And then, of course, start your morning with breakfast so that you maximize your own personal metabolism as much as possible. So,
well, usually for breakfast we have, eggs and turkey.
Okay. That's a great breakfast.
That's okay.
That's okay.
So I think as you're kind of looking, and it may be just the pistachios, but I think look through what you're eating on a daily basis, because it is amazing how quickly one can of Coke slips in there or one bag of M&M's slips in there Or those little
4-pound bag of pistachio nuts.
Oh, okay. The 4-pound bag of pistachio. Yeah. You know, okay. I think those pistachio nuts are your problem, yep. Linda. It sure sounds like it.
So, Linda, thanks for the call. And I think you probably opened a lot of people's eyes with
okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you
very
so
much.
So,
Wendy, let's talk about some other things that do happen at menopause and that can cause some weight gain for people.
Well, one of the things I would just like to jump in here and say, because I wanted to say this to mm-hmm. Linda, but we got done talking too soon, is that this would be a perfect person or a perfect example of somebody that could really use our managing your blood sugar roller coaster class.
Okay. Okay.
And we know we've already filled up the one for the 19th. Which is Monday night. So I'm going to do another one the following Monday.
Okay, and that's going to be at?
That's going to be at White Bear Lake on January 26th.
Okay.
So now our office isn't open there today, but please call on Monday, 651-773-0000. And when we look at this whole picture, it really helps. Now, it was clear with Linda about the pistachio nuts, but you know, this allows people to look at their whole way of eating and, you know, not only what they're eating for the bedtime snack, which is what we're focusing on now, but how do you start your day? How do you maximize your metabolism?
And I think one of the things that people often think is managing your blood sugar means that you have diabetes, but no, you might have a little insulin resistance.
It affects everything.
It affects everything. And actually, as we kind of get into more menopause, our cells are more prone to insulin resistance, and so we have to manage our blood sugar much more carefully than we did when we were younger.
Exactly.
And it's concentration all the time is what we have to do with this. But it pays off because then we feel great.
Yes, exactly. We feel good, and we have energy. And
Well, before we get into the next topic, let's take a quick break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. An interesting article appeared this past week about health care reform. Some research data from Health Partners found that when an entire company pulls together to increase lifestyle behaviors, productivity is higher, health care costs are lower, and people are happier. For every dollar a company invests in the health of their employees, such as nutritional education, they get a $6 return on every dollar they haven't invested. Now, that's amazing. You invest a dollar, you get $6 in return by things that support your employees.
Happier employees. What could be better than that?
So if you have questions today about menopause weight gain, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Dara and I are discussing ways to avoid menopausal weight gain. Before break, Dara shared a health study conducted by Health Partners that found that for every dollar invested in improving employees' lifestyle habits, the company's return on their investment was $6. Companies with worksite health programs are healthier. We believe that improving lifestyle habits starts with good nutrition and nutrition education. Simply helping people understand the damage that trans fats cause to people's health would certainly be an excellent investment.
So if you own a company and you want more information about the nutrition education we provide, you know, just call us at our office at 651-699-3438. And ask for Nancy Palm, and she'll set it up for you, and we'll be right out to talk about whatever you want us to talk about. We have lots of different classes organized.
Yep. And we've been talking during the show about what you eat when you go to bed, the high-sugar snacks, mm-hmm. and how that actually has you gain weight, and it slows down your metabolism during the night. But let's look at another reason that perimenopausal women gain weight. We find women are probably, especially in perimenopause, the most sleep-deprived creatures on Earth. You may be having sleep problems because of stress, anxiety, pain, Or maybe those night sweats are waking you up several times a night.
So a lack of sleep or insomnia can make you gain weight. Who knew? The University of Chicago knew, for sure. So they found that sleep impairs the way your body handles food, actually creating blood sugar problems, which can again result in insulin resistance and obesity. Lack of sleep increases fat cells and reduces muscle mass.
Ooh, that is not a good combination.
Not a good combination.
Being deprived of sleep usually leads to cravings for processed carbohydrates and ongoing hunger. Now think about that if you've ever not been able to sleep.
Oh, yes.
You know, happens. The next day it's like anything goes out the window. Give me the M&Ms. Give me the muffin. Give me the whatever.
Right.
Makes me feel better because I don't feel good. Researchers have found that lack of sleep contributes to the onset of diabetes and high blood pressure.
You know, and I think one of the things, because my daughter is just had, you know, she has three small children, and she's 39, which is sort of typical. People are having their babies later these days. And with a six-year-old and a four-year-old and a two-year-old, you know one is up every night, if not all three.
Usually if one's up, there's more than one, yes.
So we are women going into perimenopause with, we're more sleep deprived because not only do you have three kids, you also are probably going to school and you have a job and you have all the other things that are going on. And so there are a lot of women that are sleep deprived. They're trying to live on 5-6 hours a night. And I think even with the economy the way it is, people are more stressed, and they're starting to recycle those thoughts a lot. So, yeah, we have more sleep-deprived people. So that's one of the things that we always talk about is taking magnesium at bedtime to kind of help you relax. And for most people, just taking magnesium, 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium will help you sleep. And you'll wake up feeling much better. So if you are a person that wakes up a lot during the night, that's a clue that perhaps you're low on magnesium. Or maybe you get those Charlie horses or muscle cramps.
Restless legs.
Restless legs. That's also another thing. So should we quick
take... Let's take some callers.
Okay.
Yes, we've got callers on the line here. So,
Kathleen, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Right. Well, I noticed that last year in January and February I was craving tomatoes. And
mm-hmm.
It was like I had to have tomatoes every day. And I find the same thing now, you know, this January. And then in March, then I don't crave it anymore. So is there something about tomatoes and cold weather?
Well, I kind of think what happens is in the fall, because I noticed this about myself too. In the fall, I switched to eating more, crock pot vegetables or roasted vegetables or those kinds of vegetables. And then when January hits, I suddenly say, I have to have my salads back. I'm really craving salads. So that's what I would think is happening, is that people move away from that as the weather starts to get cold. Don't you, Wendy? Think
well,
that
I would
maybe
like,
is
I just want to ask, what kind of tomatoes, Kathleen, are
I
you?
I like stewed tomatoes.
Oh, stewed tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So nice, warm stewed tomatoes.
Right, yep.
Oh, okay.
Or
well,
tomato, or like spaghetti sauce, or, you know, or tomato paste.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Are you eating it plain or are you eating it with spaghetti?
I don't eat it with spaghetti. I'll put it on eggs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
it sounds healthy to me.
It sounds healthy to me, too. It sounds like a, you know, like a nice, warm comfort food.
You know, tomatoes have a lot of vitamin
good stuff
C
in them.
And a lot of lycopene and things like that. So
maybe
your body
the
is just
C.
saying...
The vitamin C, yeah.
That I'm craving.
That you're needing that. So.
Okay. Well, then I was just curious because all of a sudden, I didn't think about it again until just now this last week. And it's like, I can't have enough tomatoes.
Somebody should do a study on that.
well,
that's great.
Thanks for the call and
okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Yeah. So let's take another call
okay.
here. Marcy, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Hi there.
Hello.
You have a question for us?
Yeah, I had a specific question about the nuts you were talking about, and I'm wondering if there's an impact on the benefits of eating raw nuts if you toast them, or if it doesn't matter.
Wendy, go ahead and answer.
Yeah, so there is a definite benefit. So what we do is we actually have a crispy nuts recipe. It's on our website, isn't it, Dar?
I think it is.
You know, so go to our website, weightandwellness.com, and we have a crispy nuts recipe. So you take good quality raw nuts, and then you soak them in sea salt overnight.
And what sea salt water.
Sea salt water. Yeah, water. You got to add water. Soak them in sea salt. So soak them in sea salt water. And what that does is that that releases enzymes, which makes the minerals and nutrients in there much easier for us to access, and also makes the nut easier for us to digest. And then we roast them at a low temperature, at about 150 degrees in the oven.
Okay.
And that makes them very delicious.
Does that salt have an impact on, does it really increase the sodium factor then?
Well, when you use sea salt, you're getting lots of different minerals. So sea salt is actually a wonderful, balanced, gives us lots of trace minerals and things like that. So sea salt is great to use.
Okay, because I only use sea salt, so that's great.
Thank you.
Good. Okay, do we answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. So, Wendy, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing leading-edge nutrition education to communities and companies. Research helps us understand that trans fats have a half-life. So, in reality, if you stopped eating trans fats today, it would take about 9 months to have to be trans fat-free so that your cells could actually be free of all trans fats. So for many, your metabolism may be slow until you have eliminated those trans fats. When we come back from break, Wendy has some suggestions on how to remove trans fats from your cells. If you have questions about menopause weight gain, call us today. It is 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Cade Stancer, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, and we're discussing ways to prevent menopausal weight gain. Before break, we were talking about what you can do to speed up the removal of these trans fats from our cell membranes. First, stop eating it.
Yes.
Period. And then also stop eating anything refined, any refined oils. So that means no more margarine, no more chips, muffins, fast food, French fries, or other foods cooked in refined oil such as corn or soybean oil. So stop that.
I mean, that's big.
That's huge. Yes. That's really huge for most people. Not, you know, then you want to add like 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams of omega-3 fish oil per day to support your metabolism and fat burning.
So before we went on break, we were talking about helping people sleep better. So we were talking in terms of taking magnesium glycinate before bed, 400 to 600 milligrams, so that you get a better night's sleep and your metabolism will work a lot better.
Well, and the amazing thing that magnesium does, I mean, it's just so beneficial. You know, it's involved in 300 and some processes in our body, but it also helps our metabolism by balancing our blood sugar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So not only you get sleep, you get to increase your metabolism while you're sleeping.
And it just
so have it all work for you.
A very simple mineral.
A very simple mineral that two-thirds of us are depleted in.
Right.
So also at bedtime, for perimenopausal women, adding some natural progesterone cream will help you get a good night's sleep. When women no longer ovulate, they stop making progesterone. You're still making estrogen, but not progesterone. So at menopause, women become very deficient in progesterone. So we find often that by adding a quarter to a half a teaspoon of bioidentical progesterone cream, it will calm you, it will relax you, and will result in a peaceful sleep for many women.
But of course, if you continue to consume a lot of coffee, or sugar, or colas, or alcohol, or diuretics, you know, things may not work as well. First of all, you're depleting your system of magnesium, plus the caffeine, sugar, and alcohol will cause more night sweats and restless sleep. So it goes back to lifestyle habits a lot.
And it goes back to connecting the dots between what you put in your mouth and your health.
Mm-hmm.
Another supplement that we have found for many women that has been helpful and gives them a calming effect and promotes sleep is GABA. It helps, and that's G-A-B-A, it helps with relaxation, prevents stress-related messages from reaching our brain, and usually about 500 to 750 milligrams per day supports sleep.
So we can't leave our discussion about menopause weight gain without talking about trans fats. And researchers have found that trans fats found in margarine, muffins, chips, non-dairy creamers contribute to an increase in weight gain around the middle. And we have Barb on the line. And hi, Barb. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question about soybean oil, right?
I do. I'm try to be a label reader, so I'm pretty aware of trans fats or partially hydrogenated oil. But it always throws me, such as today, I'm out and about. I stopped and got a salad, got some dressing, read the label. And, you know, it says on there, I know, it was soybean oil.
Yep, right.
So, in general, should we avoid soybean oil regardless? Or
yep.
Does it have to say partially hydrogenated soybean oil to be bad?
No, it just, soybean oil is a very refined oil. So is corn oil. So, it's best if we avoid it totally. So, how do you avoid something like that? The only thing I can think of is ask for... But you have to be at a restaurant that has olive oil.
Yes.
Or you take your own dressing.
And I have done that. I have an olive oil and vinegar dressing I just make.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
But, of course, I don't always have that with me like today. I
right.
was about to crash. I had to eat something.
Right.
So.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes what I do is so I avoid those dressings out like that. You just carry some bags of nuts with you so you throw the nuts on the salad, and that way you've got some fat, and then I can eat my salad without the dressing. Because
yeah.
I would prefer to eat a salad
clean
with
salad.
No dressing than eat soybean oil. Because I know how damaging it is for my cells.
Okay. So it's a very refined oil, is the...
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it just has... it's damaged. They heat it to high temperatures. Okay. It's got tons and tons of chemicals in it. It's including...
Okay.
Gasoline.
Oh, my word. I might be done with my salad. Okay.
No, Barb, that was a great question because people are, they just don't know this information and they don't realize what extremes we have to go to when we're out in the marketplace eating foods that are cooked in restaurants in different places because so many of them use soybean oil. And we have to eat places...
It's hard to find a salad dressing without soybean oil.
It is.
When
exactly.
I'm using, on the question of oil, when I'm at home and I am cooking something with olive oil on top of the stove,
right?
Is there a point where I can do damage to the oil if it gets too hot?
Yes, there is. But what we think of is sauté, simmer, not too hot, and it's perfect.
Like medium temperature is fine.
Okay.
But if you're going to go to something hot, then use coconut oil or butter because they're more stable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, coconut oil is wonderful. It's just wonderful for lots of different reasons. Coconut oil. Do you use coconut oil, Barb?
I have not. In my pantry, I have olive oil, which is what I usually use for everything. But then I have some sesame oil.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where that stands.
It will take a higher heat, definitely.
Okay.
But I think any oil, you keep the temperature down and not go really high heat with any of those things. It's better for you.
Okay.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barb.
Great question.
Yes. So I think what we'll do, Wendy, is take a break. You're listening
okay.
to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, we have many classes available to you at very reasonable costs. Clients tell us all the time that these are life-changing classes. So if you're wanting to look for a class near you, because we have them all over, just check our website, weightandwellness.com, or call our office at 651-699-3438. And, Wendy, mention that class that you're teaching again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a great class, and it really fits into what we're talking about today, but it's managing the blood sugar roller coaster. And the class that we had on the 19th is totally full, so we're adding another class to jump in. This is just, you know, it truly is a life-changing class. Managing your blood sugar changes your health, changes your life. So it's called Managing the Blood Sugar Roller Coaster. It's Monday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. That's January 26th, and that's going to be at our White Bear office. So you can call 651-699-3438, or you can call our White Bear office on Monday, 651-773-0000 to register.
And we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We have found through the past 20 years of counseling people to better health that women need to focus more on their nutrition at perimenopause and menopause. Most women need an individual nutritional plan to prevent future health problems and to eat in a way that will help them feel great through menopause. Because so many things come into this picture, don't they? Osteoporosis. Many times they're on medications for blood pressure.
Depression.
And we know, don't we, Dar, because you and I are living proof.
Of good nutrition. It makes a huge difference.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes. So before we went on break, we were talking about trans fats and that you really have to get rid of those trans fats. And, you know, you're trying those trans fats as partially hydrogenated oils or hydrogenated oils and things like muffins and chips and all those, and they make you gain weight around the middle. That's the bottom line. So we have a lot of them out there, don't we, Wendy?
You know, we do, and I want to just, So since World War II, you know, we have consumed more and more of these refined man-made oils and trans fats. What actually is the problem with trans fats? Since the introduction of trans fats and refined oils, such as soybean oil that we were talking about just right before break, or corn oil, people weigh more. They have more heart disease. We have more diabetes. We have more cancer. And people are plagued with chronic diseases, such as fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome.
And Wendy, did you know that they did animal studies and they found that primates who ate a diet with trans fats were 4 times heavier than the primates who did not eat the trans fats?
I did not know that.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting. And where are these studies? Why aren't they on the news? Why aren't they on TV?
I have to dig them out.
I know. Those typical low-fat diets, you know, the one Oprah has been on, are usually loaded with partially hydrogenated oils or trans fats with sugar or NutraSweet added to enhance the flavor. This is a deadly combination for women, especially women approaching menopause.
So you have to ask yourself, where are you getting all these bad fats? Did you know that today the restaurant business alone uses 5 billion, I said billion, pounds of trans fats per year? That's amazing, isn't it?
That is a lot of trans fats. 5 billion pounds?
Mm-hmm.
8 billion pounds are used by our society as a whole.
And I guess the bottom line, if you don't want to gain weight at menopause, somehow you got to put a stop to eating trans fats and refined oils. So how do you do it?
Well, first of all, if you eat out for lunch, find a restaurant that uses olive oil and real butter.
Or if you eat muffins or cookies, eat only those that are made with butter, not any of those other oils.
And if you eat cereal bars, eat only those made with coconut oil and no corn syrup sweetener. Now, you know, there's this wonderful commercial because everybody's trying to lose weight in January, you know, this Special K Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went on the website and printed out my Special K Challenge menu. And for most meals, for breakfast, I got to have cereal full of high fructose corn syrup and hydrogenated fats. Did you know they put those hydrogenated fats in cereal?
In the cereal, too.
In the cereal itself. And then the cereal bars, several different forms of hydrogenated soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup. So please don't do that diet.
Basically, you can't fool Mother Nature, you know, or your fat cells.
No, you can't.
With fake fats or oils. These refined hydrogenated oils will cause an inflammation response at the very basic cell level.
So we want you to know that how you take care of yourself during these perimenopausal years will set you up for the rest of your life. So be wise, learn more, and practice great nutritional habits.
And thank you for listening today.
Remember,
foods can be your problem,
or it can be your solution, and we want it to be your solution.